The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Now, in our normal world, we'd be planning our Easter weekend, church services, chocolate eggs and feasts with the family. But this weekend will be very different and many of us will miss spending time with our loved ones. Father Brian Darcy joins me now to reflect on the time we are living through. Brian, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you very much indeed.
Are you cocooned?
I am indeed cocooned, Pat. I'm not so sure if you can hear me. I'm so cocooned, I'm not so sure how well I'm communicating today, but I hope it's all right for you and for your listeners as well.
Cocooned and marooned,
yes,
like many of us are, but still managing to communicate with the outside world. What are your reflections on this? Because normally you'd be in preparation for Easter and all the Easter services. Yeah. What's it like now?
It's totally different. We're just locked up. We're in a monastery in County Down. I am in a monastery in County Down. It wouldn't matter where I was, actually. It'd be the very same thing anyway. And it's a completely new experience. And certainly if you were the kind of person who depended on your role in life for your self-worth, you wouldn't have much self-worth at the moment because you don't seem to have any role in life. And that's no bad thing. And that's one of the things about having to be different and think about things and understand, you know, that this is a completely different thing. Mm. I mean, I'm 51, over 50 years a priest, and obviously I've gone through a lot of things, but nothing comes anywhere close to what we're going through at this stage, and I've no idea where it's going to go either. So basically, you know, you get up at your normal time, you say a lot of prayers, more prayers than I've been saying before, and I've had to find a new way of ministering because all the old ways are gone. I can't, you know, I can broadcast certainly and do that, but I can't do any priestly work. Nobody comes to confessions. I can't get into a hospital, even though the calls are incredibly sad and often and frequent. But, you know, the rules are I can't, and that's the rules, and that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. And so I have to find new ways of trying to comfort people. And in not as good, I don't think there's anything as good as a touch, a prayer. And nobody can see your face and all of that. You know, you understand that, you know, you communicate in a lot of ways, not just with a voice, not just with a presence, but you have to do the best you can. And funnily enough, people understand that now. Families themselves can't communicate before. Somebody's dying, there's not a priest available. There's not anyone can get in. There's nobody to hold their hand. There's nobody to do all of that. The normal things that everybody should and would and do, and nobody to whisper nice words of comfort to them. And so the family themselves get very distorted with that. So things like Zoom that I didn't know existed 2 weeks ago suddenly discovered to be the best tool that I ever had, because you can talk to all the family or a good number of the family on the same screen, and you can pray with them, and you can even offer mass over it, which I have done on a regular basis and will be doing over the Easter with families who feel that they could come together and get some comfort from that. And so it's just a different way of it. I just can't understand how all of this has happened so quickly, and the world that I was so sure of and so comfortable in for so long just disappears, and we still have to keep going. And I used to often say in sermons, you know, be careful what you put your trust in, because at the end of the day, you can't take it with you. Now I'm discovering it long before the end of the day, you can't take it with you. and you still have to live with all the things that you thought you could never live without.
Now you've always been a bit tech savvy because you've broadcast for the BBC, for example, from your home. You're able to do that. And, you know, WhatsApp is a familiar thing, and you can, you know, talk to people, send messages to people, record messages on WhatsApp. And Zoom now you've discovered, and there are other platforms. What happens within your own community, though? I mean, do you have a normal interaction? Do you breakfast together? Do you have mass together? Or
yes, we do. We have arranged our little chapel. We go to the public chapel rather than our private chapel. There are four of us, ranging in different ages, some older than me, all with a certain degree of vulnerability, but all with a great enthusiasm for life, I have to say. And so we pray, and we pray longer than we did before. What prayers we can say in our own, we say in our own, but what prayers we can say in community, like our Divine Office and chant the Divine Office and the Mass, we do that. We do that every single day. And we will go through the entire Holy Thursday night, Good Friday, Stations of the Cross, Easter Vigil, Mass, Easter Sunday. We will carry that out just with the four of us, though. And I will find that extraordinary, because I used to love the way people came for Easter, and particularly Good Friday, people that you never saw at any other time of the year, they all came on Good Friday. And you could, and you probably would remember that I'm an order called the Passionist Order, which Holy Week should be our big week, if you understand what I mean. We should be able to talk and preach about the Passion, and my days in Mount Argus and everywhere else were always big days. But, you know, now that's all stripped away. So how do I understand? And now I just have to hand it over. There's a greater power than I am. There's a greater power than any of us. Maybe that's one of the things we're beginning to discover, that a world that we thought was impregnable and invulnerable suddenly becomes broken down, vulnerable, scared. And that's what I'm getting on phone calls and letters, on emails. People that I thought were very solid and honest people are actually terribly scared. And I'm not so sure that as society, either North or South, we have come to that. And that's one of the difficulties I have too, because, you know, I'm an All-Ireland person, but I'm living in the North. So there's a different set of regulations for many of the things, but basically they're coming into line now, and that's easier. But everywhere you go, and it doesn't matter what religion you are, what not. So, or if, in fact, if you had no religion, there's a lot of people scared, you know. And I think one of the things that has come that people said to me was, you know, we had forgotten about death, or we had tried to forget about death, or the death wasn't part of life. I don't think anybody ever did it in a nasty sort of way. They just got so caught up in life that, you know, and we started using words. We never use die anymore. They pass away or passed or something like that. We sort of sanitized the process of death. And now we discover that we're terribly vulnerable to death. And that's a scary thing. And we have to rethink it. And all I can do and the best I can is that, you know, from a spiritual point of view, that the God is greater than any sort of church. God is greater than any sort of illness. And I haven't a clue why this happened, but I do know that Good Friday tells me that whatever suffering we go through, God is walking with us, because that's what Good Friday means.
Yeah. Now, Brian, two things. One is, you know, solitude, and whether it's absolute solitude where people are cocooned on their own, for example, or whether it's isolation with the family. I mean, Jesus went into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if in some way all of this, besides those who are in abusive relationships and so on, whether all of this could actually be good for us.
Well, it could be, but it won't automatically be, Pat. I think that's just one of the things we understand, because families have greater degrees of communications among the family members, and it differs for many family members. Not everybody communicates within the family in the same way, and that's very important. And if you're cocooned, I happen to be cocooned with guys that I know for 60 years, maybe some of them, and so we're well able to live on our own, and we're well able to come together for our prayers and disappear again, and we're well able to talk about. I mean, our masses together have become far more intimate and far more real, and we're able to express vulnerabilities that nobody knew the other person had 3 weeks ago. And I think the same thing is happening with families. But the one thing that's loveliest to see is the upset. I don't mean it, just let me finish it. I don't mean the upset is lovely, but I think what the upset represents is lovely, that the love that there is between the older generation within a family and the younger generation within a family. There's an incredible respect and love and care, and it's both ways. The parents and grandparents are very, very upset. And I think the people that are worst off in all of this are the middle generation, the father and mother who still have a father and mother, or maybe both alive, and still have their children, and they're caught between this, in the middle of all of this, and they don't know where they are in it. So all of this is very difficult. But we're now rediscovering something, Pat, and I think this is what it is. We're rediscovering that unless we have a sacred place within each of us, a space that we're comfortable with, a space that we can retire to and know that we're valuable no matter what anybody says or doesn't say, and to try and find that comfortable place of peace within me, and that takes away fear. And it won't come. You just have to think about it. I walk a lot, and that's when I get it. And I sort of say to myself, well, now, you know, what have I preached all these years? That God is love. Well, now do you really believe it? And if you do really believe it, that God is love, and God isn't dependent on anything, God is with each of us, and he loves every person. Whether I believe in God or whether I don't believe in God makes no difference to the fact that God loves me. And that there is somebody there. You know, every alcoholic or addict in the country has got to that stage long ago because they've agreed that there's a higher power that within their life, and unless they agree with that higher power or call on that higher power, they cannot do it on their own. And I think we've all become, in that sense, dependent on some higher power that gives us that peace, and without it, we're lost.
Father Brian D'Arcy, stay well in your cocoonery. All the best, and thanks, Brian, for talking to us this morning. Well, now, look.